Thank you very much for the foundation, Gavin and Jeremy, for the invitation. The first slide should be this. So, as mentioned by Jeremy, I'm a member of the Center of Expertise Patient Resilience Society in the Netherlands, and also at UCL and Petrus. And yeah, I was thinking, and I had a dilemma when I was preparing for this talk today, because we have excellent experts in both of the fields where I actually research and I contributed to a couple of papers. So I'm not going to go into the nitty-gritty of the ethics, because that would be a rabbit hole for me. And I think we heard much more from the experts here today. So my first part of the talk will be a little bit just shedding light upon the ethics part of ambient assisted living technologies, where I actually did a PhD about, and then intimate partner violence, where I also wrote a paper co-authored with other experts in the Netherlands. And then I will make a more of a policy type of a plea: what is needed from the ethics perspective and for the future of AI and technologies. So this is the paper that I co-authored with other experts. This is a list. It's a 50 pages paper. It's a list of all the ethical issues that are related about to ambient assisted living technologies, AI in that area. So it's basically about the technologies that are enabling the people with mild cognitive impairment, like people with dementia, to age at home, age in place, stay longer in their home place and home environment. And you can see that I'm just marking. It was a review of more than 300 papers. And I'm just marking the top, I don't know, 15, and the number goes further. The other paper that I was fortunate to co-author with other experts and colleagues was on the intimate partner violence. And you can what I want to see show with this, and you want to, I want you to make see here and visible here, is that how convoluted and complex this area is. So both. First, from the ethics perspective, the sheer number of ethical topics, and also here the complexity of the various stakeholders' point of views, and how, for example, intimate partner violence is just represented by the various aspects and approaches. So we can see public or global health perspective, human rights, policing. And this is you can see that the numbers are actually showing that almost like equal numbers, around 30% almost each, or 20 something almost each. And what both of these papers try to highlight, that modern technologies have tremendous amount of ethically relevant challenges. The numbers might even increase of more than that 100 by now. They have some very complex entanglements, either between a public, private, or communal individual approaches. They have complex links between stakeholders, between who are associated with these technologies, who are directly, indirectly affected, like people with dementia, like the informal carers, formal carers, healthcare professionals, victims or perpetrators, etc. And we are all dealing as ethicists with issues of wicked problems, societal challenges that by definition cannot be solved. And they cannot be solved even with the technology. So, but we still try. And that's the role of the ethicist, basically. I would describe that the art of an ethicist is to, as a researcher, to pick those most relevant aspects and highlight and them and ensure the representation of respect, rights, universal and societal values while dealing with these technologies. I'm not going to bore you with the official definition of the ethics, but I just mentioned that this is basically a systematic reflection on morality. It concerns values, human morality as rules, guidelines, principles, judgments, normative decisions, and as well as justification. So we try to provide arguments why to choose this or why to choose that. It's an intellectual inquiry. That's actually the best definition which I was able to find throughout the years about the concepts and principles that helps assessing behavior, helping or harming sentient creatures, and it increases our ability to cope with moral problems. And this was basically the ethics part of my speech. As a representative of the Petras National Center of Excellence, it's always an intriguing area to focus specifically on the cybersecurity area of emerging technologies. And this is a report. Oh, the picture is missing. This is a report that was written in 2018, so quite aged to my standards. It's, here, 26 authors, 14 institutions spanning academia, industry, civil society. It was followed by as a result of two separate workshops that are held at Oxford in 2017. There are very, very prominent authors who try to collate all the digital, physical, and political connotations of AI cybersecurity. And you can see the list. I enhanced the picture by highlighting which challenges already happened. These are highlighted by green, which are currently happening. These are by orange, and the red one is which did not happen yet. You can see there are the various references. The only one is basically a physical security where the terrorist is repurposing a commercial AI system. We can ask, since 2018, most of these challenges already happened, when is that going to happen and how ready we are in terms of cybersecurity. To further aggravate my message here is this is a report from 2017, if I'm not mistaken, from Booz and Company Digitization Index, where they looked at the digitalization it's an index, yeah, so how advanced various countries throughout the world are in terms of digital technologies, and they were measuring 23 indicators throughout the various six key attributes like ubiquity, affordability, reliability, speed, usability, and skill. I'm not going to bore you with this, but they basically categorize the countries between four areas: the constrained countries, emerging countries, transitional, and advanced. The most of the blue is and the green the developed Western countries. I wasn't able to see here. Maybe somewhere. Oh, actually, Russia is just on the bottom of the. I just see it now. Of the advanced one, but China is still a transitional one. And it just this picture, I think, this graph shows how vulnerable our societies are and are becoming in the future in terms of cybersecurity. And now a little bit, now the second half about the plea, I would like to invite you to my library that I spent a couple of weeks reading. This is a very recent book of Darren Acemoglu. He's an MIT professor of, I think, economics. And tried to describe in this book, highly recommended to read, the last 1,000 year of struggle over technology and prosperity. It actually feeds very much into the debate how much innovation, how much regulation we need to have, which is quite a hot topic in Europe, at least. But as we can see from the book, also in elsewhere, and he describes, he's also the author of the book, bestseller, Why Nations Fail. The answer is bad policy making, if you don't want to read the book. He defines a problem that we can currently see across the high tech and AI debate as well. So there are these visionaries, guys like Elon Musk and the others, like who define what will be the next thing. They define where the technology is going to be developed, where the funds will be invested. This is a very, very small number of people, and the small number means that there's a higher probability of something going wrong, either in terms of financing something that we will then throw out of the window because it's not going to work, or in terms of agenda setting. And he's highlighting in this book, it's interesting that American is actually highlighting the full support of a democratic decision making here. So he really tries to reinstate and strengthen the democratic institution decision making in terms of defining where the technology goes next. And he tries to involve the citizens, the democratic public. He rejects the sort of the the expert groups also set up by governments who are deciding, for example, COVID policies and stuff like that. He says that in terms of technology, we are all already users of these technologies, and there should be some institutional setups or settings where citizens can discuss these technologies. And I think if there is one argument which summarizes this book, and I'm still digesting it because I just read it very recently, is that throughout history, because he looks in the last 1,000 years, throughout history, the trickle-down prosperity or trickle-down economy or trickle-down anything never worked. And that's the challenge that we are facing in terms of technology now and today. The other book that I would highly recommend is Sir Professor Geoff Mogan's book, also published very recently. And this is a bit of a critique to my fellow philosopher colleagues, because he says that in the book published in 2023, in November, in the years that followed, many came to view much of the work on AI ethics as a distraction rather than a solution. Dozens of books and conferences worried about issues such as the moral dilemmas of trolley problems. Others explored the possible dynamics of the singularity, a generation more into the future when AI might suddenly take off and dramatically supersede human intelligence. Yet at the time, AI was being applied in almost every area of daily life with very little serious analysis on the social and ethical issues. The work on the distant horizon was intellectually appealing, but arguably a diversion from the harder problems of the present. What I would like to highlight here is I fully agree with this statement. I think he had a very courageous three paragraphs where he describes this problem. I'm in the field of AI ethics for the last 15 years almost, and I'm getting a bit frustrated by exactly this, and it's an excellent summary. That's why I would like to focus on the more applied challenges, and that's why I was focusing on the dementia and intimate partner violence and how that actually translates in a practice-based view. Both of the authors, they don't want to sound too alarmist. They just want to, but they are seriously concerned about where the AI is heading. We have tremendous amount of AI tools, AI frameworks. The last time when I looked, I redid that literature review which I showed you. When I started my PhD, we had five rough AI frameworks. Now we have 50. And the question is, who is validating them? Who is testing them? Who is applying them? Where these tools are basically scaling up? Where are the ambient assistive technologies widely used? So there is already 10 years of research, and it's, for example, it's not across the NHS, if I'm not mistaken. So it's not widely used still. And what I want to summarize here as an ethicist is that there's a tremendous amount of work. We need more specialists in the socio-technical field who can engage and work with the citizens, the users, and as well as the researchers, the industry partners, and the developers of these technologies. Thank you very much.